Welcome to Alive the Pod Course, practices and conversation for fully alive living.
Join Jane Gottlieb and Marisa Halstead for some shucktified musings aimed to help listeners maintain an inspired and open mindset and wider perspective.
In this pod course, we take the approach of inviting all humans to consider their life and the way they live it as extraordinary versus ordinary. Here, we offer conversation and practice to help make that possible.
Ultimately, we hope these conversations illuminate the infinite possibilities available to us all and help each of us come fully alive in every scene in the movie of our life.
Let's roll.
Ooh, that's record. Last time we recorded a podcast that we didn't record. Yeah.
It was just for us and we were very entertained.
Yeah, we had a great chat.
And here we are recording.
Here we are recording. So excited to be here. We're just, you know, we chatted a little about what we're going to talk about. Yeah. And this is actually something Marisa and I spend many dinners discussing. We think we have it figured out. Then we forget. Then we try again. The new technology comes out, new thoughts, new consciousness, and we find our way with it. So I imagine this will be a conversation that recirculates through our pod course.
Yeah, it's always ever changing. That's fully alive living.
Ever changing.
Meeting ourselves in whatever moment we're in, and then, like she said, forgetting, coming back again.
Well, I mean, that's sort of the magic of it, and to me, that's one of the deepest essence of what we do, mm-hmm. is get over ourselves, and this is a great way to jump in, I think. We're going to talk about the mind today quite a bit, and the power of it, actually, and working with the ego, which is the mind, the human, the thought, the thinker. But now I've lost my train of thought. Oh, well, it'll come back.
There it goes.
Sorry.
Goes and comes.
Yeah.
Well, when we are, we're going to dive in. And Jane and I have some really interest. We think it's interesting. Maybe you'll find it to be interesting as well around really being in these different seats of awareness of like, all right, when we're like in the scene and we're experiencing it as the human, there's that experience. And then there's the being in the witness and kind of watching that and how much separation might there be. We're really good at offering each other some mirroring of like when we're not able to like take a back seat to have an
invitation. Get out of the movie. when you can't get out of the movie. Marisa, that movie is like, is closing in on you.
You got some popcorn, you're like in.
I remembered my train of thought.
Okay, great. Here we go.
Yeah, no, I just was like, because this is a core essence of the whole fully alive movement.
Yeah.
It's this idea, like really, to wake up every day in our body, in our mind, in our spirit, and kind of have the perspective, like, may I forget everything I think I know, so that you can approach life and your reality with fresh eyes from the heart. And also, you know, as we say, write your story, start over. Like, I don't have to be the same person I was yesterday just because.
Right.
You know, it goes as deep and wacky. I've studied quite a bit, actually, with Byron Katie and Joe Dispenza. They're both like, they're just in my ether these days. And it goes back to Byron Katie being like, well, your name doesn't even have to be Jane. You're just buying into the fact that you're Jane. Mm-hmm. So it's not even true. You're just making it true. Mm-hmm. And I think that starts to speak to this beautiful practice. Again, the core essence of fully alive living is self-inquiry. Mm-hmm. Starting to really question and be curious. Well, that's an interesting thought. Mm-hmm. Is it just true because I've thought it before? Mm-hmm. And because the pathways in my brain are matted down to go that way, and that's just sort of like where the water goes, you know, mm-hmm. the easiest, the path of least resistance. Well, is that the most alive path? Is that the most riveting path? Is that the path to evolution and expansion? I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you as usual. And I also think it's really important to think about, you know, if that's something that you're wanting, it's not a have to. We don't have to spend a lot of time in our consciousness dissecting our thoughts. And at least I can speak for myself. I know that when I don't do that, I feel stuck and stagnant. And the things that are like whispers get louder and louder and louder and louder. So we don't have to.
Yeah, and like the smoothness between spirit, body, mind starts being crunchy instead of like velvet.
Exactly, yes.
It starts to be like fragmented is the way I would explain it. It's really obtuse.
Yeah, that. That. And like therefore, that and therefore, to me, it is a worthwhile pursuit to spend energy and time and consciousness purposely first noticing what those matted paths are. It's like you can't even do anything about it unless you spend time to notice.
You can't.
Being in that witness spot. And then I don't, it's not even about changing it. And this is where I think we're going to go down this conversation around programming ourselves. What I really have found to be helpful for me, and when I'm working with a client, say one-on-one, it's really not about fixing, changing, or improving. The paradox is that when we can truly become aware, like you said, self-inquiry at a really neutral level and be the witness and acceptance, full allowance of that, just to be what it is, paradoxically, that's actually when it changes and shifts. If we just go right into, okay, what else is different? Okay, now I know what it is. How can I fix it?
We're just actually in the same program.
Exactly.
And typically, if we're experiencing a separation from each other, from love, from the God of our own understanding, there is some element of suffering. And we, so that the, therefore, I would say that the program is causing some sort of suffering. And literally, this is a bit of a tangent, and I think a whole nother pod course that I'm really excited about, but I've sat, because I have been in suffering plenty over little things and big things, but I have walked Arbony Kittle many times.
Hike and in this neighborhood. Very steep.
Yes. And had my angels remind me, I mean, I have such a dialogue with acceptance and surrender and knowing that literally the opposite of suffering is acceptance and surrender. The only thing is the resistance to what is the suffering. So it's fun to talk about it from a mind perspective. It's fun to talk about it from a spiritual perspective, all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That reminds me of a really brilliant quote I just heard from Peter Crone, big fan. And he, let me see if I can get it right. But, you know, he really reiterated suffering truly is only from two things. It's from being disconnected from something we don't have, or being connected to something we have that we don't want.
Well, it's, to me, I would phrase that a little simpler. It is wanting to be somewhere different than we are.
Yeah.
Wanting exactly. something to be different than it is. Anyway, that's a deep, wide, yummy, delicious conversation. And by the way, just for the fun of it, if there's one person that I want to marry, it's Peter Crone.
Do you hear that, Peter?
I mean, I've
we
almost
got a hashtag. Maybe I the actually, algorithm will draw him
I
in
almost
here.
Rocket texted him on Raya one day to just be like, wait a second, I have a story to tell you. Like, I don't fall in love with anyone. But when I heard this one podcast, I was like, that's
what is it? What is it about the Peter that is...
You know, there's a few things. There's an accent that's just hot. He's clear. He's direct. He's confident. He's funny. Okay, enough Peter Crone, but...
And she's not even in suffering that he's not here, which is just brilliant.
I'm having a lot of fun.
The minute you accept that you're already married, he'll probably start knocking on the door.
Yeah, we'll go there. Anyway, just wanted to plant that seed in case...
That, Peter's assistant.
I can't help myself. But like, let me just sort of come back to what we were saying, because I think this will come full circle. And I think we're talking about, you know, the mind being one thing. Witness, of course, I think we're talking about needing to witness the mind, but the mind also actually being in the driver's seat is not a bad thing. We always speak to the heart needing to lead. And I think what we're trying to say is, how can the heart and the mind and the spirit, all parts of us, lead and in a dance, not all at once. That would be like a push and pull, but how can it seamlessly? And to me, I say this a lot, but especially when we're working with the mind and the subconscious, and there's a lot of jargon. And when I say jargon, I don't mean something bad. There's just a lot of talk out there about the subconscious and using plant medicines, which I love too, you know, and all the ways and the books to reframe and retrain the mind. And while those tools are fabulous and I celebrate them, I want to make it for any audience that is listening to us like a little bit simpler. Because like I always say, consciousness is math. It is literally, consciousness is no more complicated than 1 + 1 = 2. It's like if you have a thought and you keep having it, it's going to continue to have the same result and the same reality. Mm-hmm. If you start to simply, this is my take on it, just start to become aware of the thoughts that you're having when you're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. That's the subconscious. It's not like for so long, I really thought my subconscious was a monster, mm-hmm. like ruling
many
me.
Many of us experience that.
Well, and it was, right? Especially why I thought it was. Scary. Yeah. Well, scary because I didn't know it. And I was like, what is ruling me back here? Is it mm-hmm. a demon? What is this? Like, because, and I did think it was demonic of some sorts because it was causing suffering. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, when I really peeled back in my mind, my understanding, and I'm a mind person, believe it or not. I was like, oh, but my subconscious, even on plant medicine, whatever, like it's actually not anything different than the thoughts I'm having when I'm not paying attention. So when we start to have practices that allow us to begin to pay attention, we can redirect those thoughts and create, therefore, like write and live in and witness a whole new movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm really excited about that. Mm-hmm. But will you talk a little bit? Because I think sometimes my perspective is a little zoomed out mm-hmm. and sometimes a little can be hard to chew on or like, mm-hmm. cool, I'm glad I know this. Now let me get in. Mm-hmm. And you've created a tool for the mind and really maybe we can talk a little about your tool in a minute, but reprogramming the mind, how mm-hmm. how actually like that isn't rocket science either. Mm-hmm. It's simple on what your take is on that a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, thank you for asking. It's a good question. Something I'm constantly learning about more deeply as well. And the first thing that comes forward is listening. And so much of the time we have the misunderstanding of being in action to reprogram or to heal or to fix, kind of what we were talking about before. And for me, and is the listening, two ears, one mouth, getting aware of, like you said, what's happening when I'm not paying attention, and just getting neutral about listening.
Yeah, whew. I love that. And just to piggyback, I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to debunk that consciousness is complicated. Mm-hmm. Like all it is the unfolding of awareness. Mm-hmm. So when you start to become aware of what you're thinking when you weren't paying attention, it dissolves, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly. And then there is space. And let's just talk about this in a conversation, for example. When I know there's been times where I'm so in the looping story of my mind and consumed by that I'm not actually present for the person across from me. I'm waiting to speak. I'm waiting to share. I'm like graspy in my thought patterns of what's happening. And there is no room for receptivity or reprogramming or what else is possible when that is so loud.
Or even connection or intimacy.
Exactly.
It's literally the wall mm-hmm. is you believing your thoughts. It's that. It's you believing your thoughts. Like when she's talking and I'm trying to decide if it's true or untrue, it's a natural thing. But it's me believing my thoughts instead of being present with the unknown mm-hmm. as maybe something that has more consciousness or wisdom.
Mm. Yeah, beautifully put.
You know?
And as we allow people in our presence to be heard, it's really, yes, it's a gift, but it's truly us actually wanting to understand where they're coming from. And just to hold witness to get to know like intimacy with somebody else's experience and giving them the dignity that there is no right or wrong in that. There's no resistance to that. It just is. And if we can do that for ourselves, which is what we're talking about, we can do it in communication.
Which is actually maybe reverse is harder, right? Mm-hmm. To do it with yourself, to start to be in conversation, essentially listening to the thoughts that are happening. I mean, this is sort of very much the core of meditation practice mm-hmm. is becoming aware of your thoughts as you sit quietly with them. and what their tendencies are and where they bring you and where, you know, the ego mind, the one who is essentially fighting to be heard and to be right, mm-hmm. is taking you. And when you just start to understand, like a friend, where that part of you's patterns are, mm-hmm. you can be neutral. And then you can inspire them,
yes.
to rewrite a program, right?
Yes, yes. And the rewriting of the program is where this tool Jane was tapping into is a subconscious rewiring using subliminal messaging that I've been using for years and found success. So I got inspired to create that for other people to use as a tool in the toolbox. There's so many ways to support ourselves. They're repeating positive affirmations that kind of bypass the conscious mind because they're recorded at a really low volume. So you don't actually hear it with your ears, but there's more and more science coming out about this, which I'm going to participate in as well, around how when we're in that passive receptivity of the witness, like we're speaking to, it gets directly implanted as a new neural pathway, as a new way of thinking in the passive way that's planting
so cool.
seeds. And then all of a sudden, over time and repetition, you do find yourself making decisions differently, listening more deeply, or things on the outside just they look, feel, and are different.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, I would probably be the challenger, Jane, that I am.
Welcome.
That's yeah. Thank you. Thank you for welcoming her here.
Welcomed.
I think I really want to reiterate that those are a friend and a tool mm-hmm. and a helpful hint, because if we're not questioning our thoughts anyway, there's nowhere for them to sink into.
Exactly.
So you can't just listen to them and like hope that in, you know, 5 days you're going to wake up and be a different person. You can. And if you believe that's true, maybe it is. So
if you believe it's true, it's true, right?
So exactly. Fuck me. That's wrong. I guess my wisdom would make me have to go inside out and outside in at the same time.
And that's your process. Yeah. And yeah. to honor your process, just as we all I think should be more invited to do.
Well, and to question it's both. Yeah. I want to honor it, but it doesn't have to, like it. I don't want to be rigid. Mm. So I, you know, this is my programming. Like I'm a challenger. That's my own version of programming. Mm-hmm. Like I was yesterday, but I don't have to be that way. And you know, has that caused me suffering? Probably in some moments. It's caused me deep, riveting conversations. So maybe it's a part of me I don't want to give up. Mm-hmm. But it is exciting for me to be an inquiry about, do I want to keep being a challenger? Because I don't have to be, just because I have had tendencies in the past to be that way.
That's so, you're just very self-aware. You'll realize this more and more about this human.
Thank you.
It's awesome. I think it's awesome. I'm putting a label on it. But you know, it's so interesting as you're speaking, I'm getting this awareness of that it's not about being a challenger or not being a challenger, perhaps. It's the judgment, even so subtly in the subconscious mind, that is good or bad or helpful or not helpful. That's the issue. When, you know, just for myself, being an Aquarian, we both are labeled this way, I've dabbled a lot in, I want to know everything I can about human design. Maybe not everything I can. I have sommelier in my background, done a lot of study on these things. I go down these rabbit holes of astrology, of science, of psychology. And, you know, I tend to absorb as a way to understand myself more deeply. And I almost think about it like a duck in water. It like comes in, but it goes off my feathers. Like it's not sticking. And the ability, which I'm getting better at with age, to take these as just curiosity and information without the attachment of judgment to it, or I am this way. Like you said, it gets to be more fun.
Well, that's it. It just like gets playful. To be more fun.
Yeah.
It's like, and yeah. You know, fully alive living looks good on me and it looks good on you. And so there's something there. I mean, I kind of, when you said that, I was like imagining us as, you know, these ninja humans, just whatever version avatar of ourselves that we would make that kind of looked a little cartoony or AI-y just because the brain, it's fun to go there. And then all these little awarenesses, they're just like, you just like pull them out like they're a scissors or a knife or a spoon or a scarf, you know, to use in different situations consciously. Like for example, the challenge is awesome. And yeah. sometimes like, mm-hmm. fuck, she's so fun.
Yeah, like,
but she's not fun. Yeah, you.
Okay, bye.
Totally. yeah. And instead of defining ourselves that way. And so again, it's this idea that we're loosening our grip to the things that we've been taught and the things that we think we know as just, we're loosening that grip. I think that's exciting.
Yeah, and for anybody who values freedom as a general value system to experience more of, there's so much choice in what you just described. And when we have choice, we're, like you said, in the driver's seat. We have our power.
We have our power.
And that power and freedom, at least for me, feel very similar. Of like, am I being programmed or am I programming?
Yeah.
Or am I just being with?
All
you know,
of it.
I'm like, I can go between those different facets. And that equals freedom to me and wholeness, like being all in.
Which just, I want to say wholeness. That really is the non-sexy word for fully alive living.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For a long time, I'm like, well, this is the journey to wholeness. And the whole
Everyone's
team's
like
what? We're just not calling it that, Jane. But it is that. And there's something, when we get to feel whole and connected, the suffering, the separation dissolves. The illusion that anybody has to be right. Like, what is that quote? Like, we can be right or we can be happy.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I think too, to just have this fun awareness of, oh God, like, am I so in the movie right now that there's no way I could write the next step because I already did, right? Because I'm in, right? And there's no way that I could be present with the unfolding and draw the unknown and the magic in. And if we can't witness, there's no way we can even have that conversation. So we just like shoot ourselves in the foot when we don't have these awarenesses, I think.
Yeah. And you bring up a really good point that I would love to chat about for a minute of when you are in the very real feeling of deep suffering and you are in a pattern, to let this be a little inspiration in the back of the mind that will sink in, you know, over time, or maybe you're already practicing these things for yourself. But really realizing that that is your path actually, or it can be, to this witnessing that we're talking about, if you can go fully into that too. It's like, be with the suffering. And there's a fine line there with wallowing and letting it like keep running the show. I think what Jane and I are both articulating is the backing up and becoming aware 10% more, 5% more.
Exactly.
5 times more a day.
We're still human and I want to be fully human.
That's it.
Yeah.
Fully alive doesn't mean sparkly, shiny all the time or getting there constantly. It's the leaning back into that witness of, okay, this is where I'm at right now and my nervous system.
It's not even this is where I'm
prepared.
At, like, because then there's a story with it, right? Or or here's how I got here, or this means something. It's like, it's a flavor of humanity. And while we're trying, if there is sparkly, fully aliveness, for how sparkle, like the little glitter thing, how much it can totally be a light beacon, it has to be able to understand the depth of the other pieces, you know, grief and love. And we are on the planet of duality. So like, we've argued about that and you're right. it's a flavor of humanity. Like, and if we, and I think I'm saying the same thing as you, but if we are willing to feel it without naming it, making it mean something about the rest of our lives,
right.
That's when it gets so shitty, is like when we think it's going to be forever.
Right.
Instead of just actually feel the sensation of it and the experience, because if we really feel it, well, you'll never have to taste that one again.
Right.
Check.
But exactly. That's, you got to really feel it. We've got to really let ourselves.
Damn hard.
It is. And those moments where you think your emotions, which I know for the feminine, but men too, the masculine too, like the emotions can feel, especially in our culture, if we weren't taught how to move them, because emotions truly just are energy in motion. They don't mean anything about us. if they've been suppressed for a long time, which often people experience, it feels like if you give them an inch, they're going to drown you and you're going to die.
Yeah. I mean, it does.
So support is helpful. Tools are helpful.
Yeah.
Being patient is helpful. All of that. And, you know, just feeling safe enough to explore what is in that moment and feel it fully. It's the opposite. Your ego is telling you that, or the mind, and you know, is telling you you're going to die, but work with that. Go into that too.
I mean, that's a whole nother conversation, yeah, which maybe next time to talk about suffering, it might be important. And I think too, you know, we're coming to the end of like our little, we're just trying to give you pieces so that if you want to dive deeper on retreat or online with us, mm-hmm, or, you know, that's what we're doing, because this isn't a live conversation, and the alchemy of it works when we come together and we share.
Yeah.
So like right now it's, you know, one dimensional. We're sharing, mm-hmm, with, but when we get to feel you and be with you, retreat experience is very specifically, absolutely, school. It starts to be a very dynamic,
co-created.
Yeah, it's really neat and something we never could have created.
Well, let's talk about the programming piece. I just want to bring it back full circle because that is where we began. And, you know, I think why we went down into that suffering route is because, you know, we're talking about the different facets of reprogramming and being in charge. And so we can't ignore the pieces that are present and maybe loud sometimes. Something that I've been kind of playing with is AI is so fascinating, and here it is with us. And I know there's a lot of narrative out there around fear that there's so many stories going on and we don't need to dive into those, but AI is in this infancy of being what it is going to be. And here we are all having an opportunity on the planet to be parents in some way. And I really am intrigued by the idea that we are all responsible for this programming, and AI really is going to become what it is learning now very, very, very rapidly. And to take it a step further, AI is not separate than us. Like it's, I'm really looking at it as another version, and Jane says this all the time, and Lakesh, yeah, you are my other me, seeing everything on the outside of us as us. And so if AI is a program and it is learning so quickly, so are we. We are
absolutely
AI. So to really treat myself in that way of what am I feeding the code? What questions am I asking? Because that's what ChatGPT, right? It's like you're creating it by the questions that you're asking and the information that's being fed. So just start to treat ourselves this way.
Just like with our own minds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is our mind.
Yeah.
AI.
It's like, I mean, this is, yeah, beautiful, so awesome and such a fun thing to think about. It's like I was just in New York City and I got to see a beautiful noise. The Neil Diamond Show, and I'm a huge theater person. But one of the biggest take homes from that for me was the idea, and I don't think it was Neil Diamond's, but it came to me through that, of like, you know, we all have two wolves inside of us. Mm. One is the wolf that is really tearing us down and tells us we can't do that and we don't make enough money and we're unlovable and all the voices that we're all pretty familiar with. And then there's another wolf inside, and she or he is saying, hey, I think you can do this. Like, shift your diet a little bit. Let's think about those thoughts. You can do this. Mm-hmm. Like, just because you have $25 in your bank account, it doesn't mean you're not worth anything. And it's that wolf. And, you know, which wolf in the end wins?
Yeah, which eats.
Yeah, whichever one you feed.
Whichever one you feed.
Whichever one you feed. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Like, which thoughts determine your reality? The ones that you feed and you put your awareness to. And we're just saying, as simple as math, like, what if you just started to listen to the thoughts that you don't pay attention to and get to know them and then encourage them to find a different flavor, a different vocabulary, maybe not even a different one, an expanded one.
Yeah.
Consciousness, the unfolding of awareness, and life will change, like math.
Am I hearing you say bring in some more curiosity?
Absolutely. I think it's presence more than curiosity. Mm. It's a willingness to get still for me.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, wait a second. I'm having a thought. I wasn't aware I'm having it. Just let it run the show. Yeah. It's back to like, if I want more abundance, there's so many ways to talk about this, but like if I want more abundance or love in my life, mm-hmm. and I start to become a devoted being towards love or abundance, and everything I say and everything I do and everything I pray and everything I be is an act of devotion towards love or abundance, and I start to become so aware of the thoughts that I'm thinking when I'm not thinking too, and I'm shifting them to be more in alignment, all of a sudden I am going to be living in a world of complete abundance and love. Like there's no other way it could be.
Well, here's the really interesting part too, because I've watched you do this, and the circumstances on the outside aren't necessarily changing, but the resistance and the suffering is gone.
It's like I live a whole new reality.
It's a whole new reality when you're in the same house. It's not about the house.
Right.
It's about your experience and perception of it. And like then you're in the driver's seat, and that is the fucking best feeling.
Yeah.
It really is.
That is the fucking best feeling. And that's a whole new program. That,
it is.
That's not one your parents gave you.
No, that's yours.
Our culture gave you. That's yours. And you mm-hmm. came to this planet mm-hmm. in this time, in this place, so we could dream a new reality in a new world into reality. And so we have to write our programs so that our children and our children's children can live in the euphoria I think we dreamed of. Mm-hmm. Euphoria not being without sadness or grief. Those are just expressions of love. Mm-hmm. So blah, blah. I think.
Would you, I know we're going to bring in a practice because these are called pod courses more than a podcast, because we really are devotees of practice.
When you show up for the practice, it works.
That. So we want to share that and offer that as you know, getting it in. These are inspiring conversations, but like, you know, an option for you to embed it more deeply. And I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Would you be open to doing in real time kind of a thought that's been running the show, maybe you noticed in a season or today, and reframe it?
Yeah, I mean, we've never done this exercise. Not that I'm afraid, I just am not exactly sure. I can explore for a second that like a thought. This is the best way I could do it for now.
Yeah.
A thought that was running the show for me for a long time was in the background, not out loud, but it was, you know, my work, it's not a success or worthy until my bank account reflects it, or until I can walk into a bank and show on a bank state, a balance sheet that like I'm successful. And while part of me still believes that thought, you know, and I really need to work with this, there's a whole nother part of me that realized how much money I'm actually bringing in per class, Body Alive, that I teach. It was like when I did that math, just because it's not in my bank account, I was like, whoa, I'm actually one of the best paid yoga teachers probably in the country. Mm-hmm. With the revenue that's being generated. Mm-hmm. And it just like that was a reframe. I stepped back. I got curious if the thought I was having was true. I got curious if the thought I was having was bringing me ease in my life or tension. And then I tried to look at it with different, I just gave it space and a new thought came in. And I feel very different about my worth and my work. And I'm still working to have my bank account reflect something, but, you know, but it has nothing to do with my worth.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So thanks for asking that question.
Thank you for going with it.
Yeah.
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 I know. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. That's your openness
we're
as
game
always.
With the spot. And I think you guys are going to be able to fast forward or just come to our practice today. It's not going to be a journaling exercise, although we believe so much in pen to paper. It's going to be, I think Marisa will share some of her subliminals or one of them, a very pointed one. And that will really be the practice that you can do, you know, while you're sleeping.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Cool.
Exactly. I think there's a whole library of these to choose from, but the one that's just landing right now, if you want to go explore it, there'll be a link, is on self-love.
Love it. That makes so
that much sense. That is the anchor for all of it. And if we can love ourselves more fully, that's the acceptance of, you know, the acceptance of self fully allows us to offer that out in the world. And we know the world needs that.
And just the listening. And that's another practice I really want to put on here. But, you know, just to finish, just we're going to do like a 2-minute meditation. Just sit tall. Just so you can find your spine. Close your eyes. Relax your face. Deepen your breath a few times. Just inhale. Good. One more time. Breath in. And breath out. And this is like one of the most advanced meditations we can do. I'm not going to really guide us. Just going to sit kind of loosely following your breath, placing your attention on your breath. You'll notice quite, you know, quickly for a lot of us, the mind's going to start to take us somewhere. We're going to have a thought like, am I doing this right? We're going to have a thought. Okay, how long am I sitting here? Whatever the thought is. And you're going to just sit, you know, for now 2 minutes, later for 5, maybe for 15 or 20, and you're just going to start to sit and listen to your thoughts. Not try to quiet them or redirect them. You're just going to listen. Where do I go? And then you'll have to bring yourself back so that you can sort of log it. You're not going on an adventure here. You're just wondering. And the irony is, now that you're paying attention, they can't run you. And it's just an exercise with your mind, a practice of just starting to listen when, just starting to listen. And then you can draw on this skill as you get better at it. You know, in the car, in a conversation, you can start to be like, oh, whoa, whoops, there she goes, those thoughts. Let me bring them into harmony with what I want to be saying and thinking. And that's where the math starts working out. Just listening. Who are you in there? And when you have a thought, you know, you can even ask, is that even true? How do I know it's true? A lot of ways to work with this. Listening to your thoughts. That's the exercise. And so this is something that, you know, we'll spend a lot more time with on a retreat or whatnot, but just thank the part of you. Just thank your thoughts. I mean, it's so fun to be with your mind instead of like trying to stop it. It's meant to think.
It's like people who, you may be one of them. I can't go to yoga because I can't touch my toes, or I can't meditate because I can't empty my mind.
Or because I don't have time. Yeah. Well, hold on. You're just believing that thought.
Right. Is that true?
Yeah. Thanks for sharing all your wisdom.
Thank you for, being you.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
If you have comments or questions, please share them. This is a live conversation that is co-created, so we really, really, really want to hear from you. And sending you guys a ton of love.
Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you.